Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Good evening, everyone. Again, welcome. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about this sutra, a very old sutra, actually, that quotes the Buddha's final words. And it's called The Eight Awarenesses of Great Beings. And this describes the living of Bodhisattva path in our daily lives. In Japanese, it's called the Hachi Dainin Gaku. It is Dōnin's final piece of writing while he was alive. And it's a crucial fascicle in his masterwork, the Shobogenzo. In Japanese, Hachi means eight. Dainin means great person or being, and gaku refers to qualities, realizations, or awarenesses. Dōgen's work was produced after studying the older Mahayana Sutra of the same name, which was popular among early Mahayana practitioners as a daily recitation sutra, a kind of ethical reminder for living a life of awakening. It is also a key part of the Parinirvana Sutta Sutra, also known as the Buddha's Deathbed Discourse. It describes the Buddha's final moments and his last instruction to his disciples, emphasizing the values and practices to uphold after his passing. He reminds his disciples to practice diligently and to safeguard the Dharma, and not to be led astray by his physical absence. This discourse on the eight realizations of great beings offers eight essential insights as the Buddha's final spiritual heritage, the qualities or awakenings that lead to living as a bodhisattva or a truly great person. In Mahayana Buddhism, a great being is deeply committed to the bodhisattva path, not necessarily someone of great repute or power, but a being that has begun to transcend selfish concerns and to cultivate wisdom and compassion to help others awaken. Someone who has realized deep truths, but chooses to remain in the world to assist others. And although the words great being might have associations with godlike characters, Dōgen emphasizes that these eight qualities are not to be thought of as belonging to mythical or ideal beings, but instead as invitations to all of us to live more wisely and compassionately, gradually taking steps toward freedom and living the path in our daily lives. The core themes of the eight realizations revolve around renunciation, simplicity, diligence, mindfulness, and wisdom, and culminate in the great vow, the aspiration to liberate all beings. It is a compact teaching encompassing the key elements of our bodhisattva practice: letting go, contentment, patient equanimity, diligent effort, mindfulness, meditative concentration, compassionate wisdom, and dedicated service. If some of these eight qualities sound familiar to you, they should, to anyone who has heard teachings on the six perfections or paramita. I'd like to read a little section here from Uchiyama Roshi's book. I would like to add an explanation regarding Hachi Dainin Gaku, the eight qualities or attributes or practices of a true adult, and Roku Harimitsu, the six perfections. In a word, What Daimin awakened to are the eight qualities or attributes. And the fundamental practice of the Bodhisattva is the six perfections. The eight qualities are having few desires, knowing one has enough, serenity, diligent effort, mindfulness, meditation, wisdom, and not engaging in idle talk. And the six perfections of the Bodhisattva, the paramitas, are dana, or giving, sila, maintaining the precepts, or ethics, kshanti, or patience, virya, or diligence, jhana, concentrated sitting, and prajna paramita, or wisdom. Now, the term bodhisattva originally referred to the Buddha himself, and it was only a bit later that it became a term for the universal aspiration to awaken all beings. The term became prominent with the rise of Mahayana Buddhism and was interpretatively translated as enlightened but still experiencing the emotion of compassion, which compels one to teach sentient beings. To put it another way, a Dainin or Bodhisattva is a person who is a true adult, living by vow to carry out the Buddha Dharma. In the end, the eight qualities or attributes of a great person and the six perfections are the same thing. They simply arose historically at different times. The Hachi Dainin Gaku are the last testament or legacy of the Buddha himself and are therefore the oldest. At the time, what was most fundamental to Buddhism was striving of the self to become oneself. We read in the Dhammapada, the foundation of the self is only the self, and never rely on another, or atadipa. This is the fundamental attitude of the Buddha Dharma. In the Hachi Dainin Gaku II, what is most fundamental is that the self is only self. When Mahayana Buddhism arose, that period of it being best to go by oneself in the forests or mountains and live alone. This was in the very early 100 BC to maybe 100 of the current 100 CE, the current era. Living with others then became more important. Associating and getting along with others and carrying on one's daily life. And yet carrying on such a life being understood as self that is only self. So while the eight qualities or realizations are what we awaken to, the paramita are what we practice. We can think of Dogen's or the Mahayana view as democratizing this greatness and making the Bodhisattva path accessible to anyone. It begins. All the various Buddhas are extraordinary people. As there are eight realizations or qualities of which these exceptional people become aware, they have been referred to as the eight qualities of a great person. Becoming aware of these dharmas becomes the cause for entering nirvana. On the evening he entered nirvana, this was the final teaching and testament of our first teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha. The first awakening is to have few desires. Great beings are aware that wanting less brings peace and freedom. Excessive desires lead to suffering and distraction from the path. When thoughts multiply and we identify with them as who we are, our need to fulfill them grows, and the more we suffer. The ideas that we assign value to are the ones that drive our behavior in the world. In other words, the problem of suffering has everything to do with our view of the world. This is why right view is such a defining element of the Eightfold Path. When looked at in this way, many of our desires are apparitions. In a consumer-driven society, we are constantly encouraged to want more, better, different. And advertisers and politicians know exactly how to conjure up new ones. A great person intentionally practices contentment, choosing simplicity over accumulation. Someone who downsizes their lifestyle to focus on meaningful work or relationships embodies this awareness of few desires. This is the opposite of obsession, greed, or addiction. When we take a close look at the things we pay attention to, our cravings become apparent. How many garages, closets, and bookshelves are stuffed with things that are barely used and then discarded? How many neglected relationships? How many pounds on our waistlines accumulated to unhealthy ends? Instead, we keep the middle way. This goes hand in hand with the second awakening quality of knowing satisfaction, or knowing how much is enough. The Buddha said, "One whose heart acts with few desires is always at peace and has few anxieties or misgivings." A great person recognizes how much is enough and feels gratitude for what they have, rather than constantly seeking more. Gratitude practices, like daily reflections or mindfulness, and treating mundane daily activities as rituals can help cultivate this quality. It's the difference between being obsessed with being the center of attention versus appreciating the contributions one already makes. A person who feels fulfilled in their modest life role, a teacher, a nurse, a parent, can model this awareness. When we see that we are the shared life force that participates and enables the continuation and existence of others, we can know satisfaction. Uchiyama Roshi says that what I'm talking about here is a change in one's outlook, the whole sense of oneself. So seeing that this thought of seeking fulfillment is simply a secretion of the brain, and that this living force connecting you and me is the same force and is who we truly are, our jiko, our whole self. This is the transformation from child to true adult. Remember that living out the fundamental force we have been given is having the ultimate value. That is having the eye of a great person. He says we should look at our dissatisfactions not as something we need to destroy, but instead take the attitude of a babysitter who soothes the crying of a little baby. A true adult is one who looks to live out her life by giving full play to all she has been given. I once joked with our Roshi that in addition to the great vows for all, one could add, "However innumerable talents are, I vow to develop them all." He stopped and looked at me in all seriousness and said, "That is a true vow." To paraphrase Suzuki Roshi, perfect and complete, and we could use a little improvement. We are already Buddha, but we live in continuous practice. The third quality is appreciating serenity. Dogen states, the third quality is enjoying peace of mind, avoiding noisy, bustling places that confuse the mind, and living alone in a quiet, serene dwelling is called enjoying peace of mind. Great beings cherish quiet and solitude. They know that serenity fosters insight and freedom from distraction. In a world of constant notifications, the ability to unplug, spend time in nature, or engage in silent retreats is deeply valuable. Even small practices, like intentional screen-free evenings or taking moments for reflection, are acts of cultivating serenity. Take special care to attend to whatever it is that begins your day. Take that cup of morning tea or coffee outside and have a silent word with the abundant life around you. Great trees, small animals, and birds at the feeder. Wind, sun, and shadow. It is one of the kindnesses of evolution that the roar of dinosaurs has evolved to become the melodious trills of birdsong in this age. Take a moment to marvel at the kind of world where these birdosaurs exist. Allowing time to observe without any expectation at all, you can see that there is no reason to look outside of yourself to discover your own existential value. Attention is the most precious resource. Without it, you cannot respond with skill to any of the stimuli of your environment, to your desires, or to your suffering. So get to know serenity and healing through silence and focus. The fourth quality is making diligent effort, or joyful effort. Diligence means persevering on the path without laziness or discouragement, continuously cultivating wholesome qualities. This is the quality of showing up every day, whether in spiritual practice, creative work, or social interactions, despite their challenges. Persistently working toward a cause, despite enormous obstacles, we should instead see our opportunities. Whatever activity it is that you may be an artist of, you are surely aware that consistent, wholehearted effort is key to a fortunate outcome. They say, luck favors the well-prepared. Chemists use the term energy of activation as the minimum amount of energy required for a reaction to take place. This initial energy input is needed to break existing bonds before new ones can form. Once this barrier is crossed, the reaction proceeds with the release of energy. When we exert diligent effort, we form skillful habits and break through our delusions. The Buddha compares this to the constant flow of water over a rock, eventually piercing the rock, even if it is just a steady trickle. And yet, key to this effort is practice without expectations. So we align ourselves in a direction, but with an attitude of nothing to be gained. This is why Dogen declares that practice and enlightenment are the same. Ushiyama says that aiming with all one's energy, but with no target to hit, is zazen. Our fifth quality is practicing right mindfulness, or not losing sight of true dharma. Great beings remain fully aware and attentive to body, mind, and surroundings, avoiding distraction. The Buddha said, monks, in searching for a true teacher and good protector, there is nothing better than always being mindful of the Dharma. Those who stay aware and are not careless or forgetful in their actions will not be torn apart by the various thieves of greed, ignorance, or anger. Mindfulness is widely and popularly promoted today, from mindful eating to methods of stress reduction. The Buddha's right mindfulness is right because it is directed toward awakening, unlike mindfulness for comfort or self-enhancement alone. It involves clear, non-judgmental awareness of the body, or presence, feelings or reactions, the mind and its moods and emotional states, and its mental objects, discernment or understanding our direct experience as conditioned process. By practicing in this way, we gain wisdom and insight into understanding how our suffering arises. Attention is precious, powerful, and inspiring. Remember to sit with all the modes of mindfulness: breath, body, heart, and mind. This fifth quality of a great person means taking Zen practice beyond the cushion and requires your full attention in whatever activity you're participating in, down to the most mundane aspects of your life. You shouldn't be surprised to learn that Master Dogen provides a full chapter of the Shobogenzo to the proper etiquette of using the outhouse. As long as we're paying attention, there is nothing wasted. In any event, for sure, in our actions, we often lose sight of what is real. And the reason we lose sight of the reality of things is our habitual way of thinking about things. It is a critical mistake to become convinced that the imaginings in our head are real. So how can we act without losing sight of reality? As it says in our text, maintaining and not losing sight of true Dharma is called practicing the true teaching. For me, it simply means there is nothing we can do but open the hand of those thoughts that come into our head. Opening the hand of thought just once or twice isn't good enough. Thoughts are always bubbling up, so we must do it again and again and again. From the foundation of opening the thinking hand, we constantly reflect and then reflect again on our actions. So Zazen is the full-hearted posture of opening the hand of thought. Our Zazen is not sitting Zazen and then thinking how great we'll become. Rather, the Zazen of Dogen Zenji is one of living, being protected by Zazen, and reconsidering again and again just what we're aiming at. In practicing that Zazen, in which thoughts are let go of, all the fabrications and fixations in our head simply break apart. And consequently, we can no longer be deceived by them. So when that happens, does that mean everything just disappears? Not at all. It is then that we can see the reality of the true living force, inclusive of all sentient beings and inclusive of the whole universe. If our mind and spirit are calm and humble, we can sense this reality. When we do perceive this, that we are indeed a life inclusive of all sentient beings, that we are indeed that life that fills the universe, then it is enough to clarify it and carry out living actions. So the sixth quality of great beings is settling in jhana, which in Japanese translation is interpreted as zenjo, or in the practice of zazen. Great beings develop meditative concentration, unifying the mind and settling in deeply. The Buddha said, "Monks, those who wish to settle the confusions of the mind need to sit quietly in jhana. Having contemplated thoroughly the functioning of one's mind, you will come to know well the rise and the fall of all worldly phenomena. For that reason, you must make diligent effort to concentrate on and carry out various forms of settling in jhana." Sitting here, you already know the value of this Zazen practice, peacefully abiding, letting the breath of this body speak for itself, surrendering to silence. Each of our minds is unique in its constellation of influences, experiences, and opinions. You create it each day, and you take it with you to the grave. We can drop a hint to ourselves that it's okay to surrender the part of the mind that cogitates and take that attention and apply it to the breath or the body as a vehicle. As a vehicle to this moment of immediate experience, this is opening the hand of thought. Letting our neurosis fade, drop away, and draining its power to fascinate, as in the original sense of the word fascinate, which is to bewitch or to be brought under a spell. The spell of our conditioning is eventually broken through by the insight we experience through meditation. We then can see, as Uchiyama says, that all living things and all non-living things form one life. Sitting with that understanding is shikantaza. All things exist due to the same living force that enables our own existence. Taking care of all existences is referred to as the compassion of the Buddha. Seeing this, we arrive at the seventh quality of a great person. which is the cultivation of wisdom through listening, contemplative practice, and the development of insight. Wisdom here is not just intellectual understanding, but direct seeing into the nature of reality and our interdependence. It can be seen in those who make compassionate decisions and take actions that are not based on short-term or individual gain. It's found in those who understand that their happiness is tied to the well-being of others and to the environment. Through this practice of Zazen, we gather the fruits of awakening. Just as anyone who tends a garden knows that seeds need soil and sun and water and air and care, we can cultivate and express wisdom through compassionate action. In sitting Zazen, we gather our precious energy and avoid wasting it in entertaining our delusions. This is the way we function as bodhisattvas in the world, to live our lives skillfully and ethically for the sake of all beings. It is said that Buddhist thought begins with discriminating and moves toward transcending that discrimination. So we use our reason, consider carefully, and then act truthfully after opening the hand of thought. This changes our perspective from valuing our cravings to that of valuing the Buddha Dharma. The eighth quality is avoiding idle talk and hollow discussion, or not engaging in useless argument. Great beings refrain from frivolous, harmful, or deceitful speech. They speak truthfully, purposefully, compassionately. Having seen through various views, not engaging in conflicting opinions, we remember to let them go and just aim and act in accordance with the truth of our reality. In the age of social media, this is a vital teaching. It encourages us to pause before reacting, to avoid gossip, trolling, or spreading misinformation. A person who uses their voice to uplift rather than divide is practicing this awareness. Speaking with care means sharing your appreciation of life. Dogen tells us, in my tradition, the way is attained with both mind and body. If you project and calculate Buddha Dharma with your mind alone, you will never gain the way. Only after letting go of your mind will you gain the way. Moreover, when you completely let go of your narrow ideas and understandings and concentrate on shikantaza, you will become most intimate with the way. Therefore, gaining the way is attained through sitting straightforwardly with the body. The great Vietnamese Zen teacher Thich Nhat Hanh summarizes the eighth realization as the awareness that the fire of birth and death is raging, causing endless suffering everywhere, and urges us to take the great vow to help all beings, to suffer alongside them, and to guide them to the realm of great joy. So, in conclusion, we've already mentioned some of the common points of training in Buddhist practice. The paramitas, these eight qualities, the eightfold path, and the 16 bodhisattva precepts are all aiming at the integration of our true self. The eightfold path is a systematic training framework aimed at liberation, while the eight awarenesses describe ethical and contemplative states of a mature practitioner on the Mahayana path. This brings us back to Dogen's teaching that each of the qualities contains all the others. Buddhas teaching Buddhas. Together, these teachings form a rich and consistent tapestry of thought and practice. No surprise, then, that these were the Buddha's last words and testament, all the flesh and bones of the Bodhisattva path. Vows, qualities, ideals, and a training for attaining wisdom and insight into the human, no, the universal condition. Each being passes through its individual set of 10,000 Dharma gates, despite and because of our common origin and ultimate fate. In the Dhammapada, it is said, become the foundation of self that has been put in order. This is how we settle in true self. Atta Dipa, rely on your true self.